The Lord is great and He's greatly to be praised. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Certainly we thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. God is awesome. He's authoritative. And He avails Himself to us in so many ways. We're here because He brought us. We're blessed because He blessed us. We thank Him for a portion of health and strength and sanctity of our minds. For it is truly in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Thank God for these preachers, the persons of Reverend McCoy, Reverend Skipper, Reverend Walker, Reverend Redwine. And certainly we thank God for deacons and junior deacons who have devoted us this morning. Thank God for the Environmental Safety Committee and volunteers and this youth choir or praise team who have blessed us in song. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Ask that you would stand, that we might see you and recognize you, salute you, and to say thank you for... Come on, we can do better than that. Bless God for our mothers. Amen. Amen. We thank God for your commitment, your concern, your care for your children. Certainly God has chosen you to play a vital and important role in bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And without your care and concern, compassion, commitment, your child or children would not be who God has destined for them to be. So thank God again. Come on, once again, bless God for mothers. Amen. Our children have expressed our gratitude unto you for the sacrifices that you have made. We thank God for you. Thank God for you. My mother is still living, but I want to tell you, if your mother is living or deceased, you're still blessed because you have had a mother. You have a mother. Amen. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's word, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. If you have found it, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say wait. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Then I will give. Lord, if you give me, I will give him unto you all the days of his life. Look at someone, if you will, and say, a model mother. Look at another and say, a model mother. Bless the Lord, if you will, on your way to your seat. A model mother. A model mother. In a time of decay, defeat, disorganization, lived a couple by the name of Elkanah and Hannah. They lived in a day, in a time in which every man did what was right in his own eyes. During a time, the people was not content with the order of God. During a time, the people had no authority, no spirituality, no continuity. There was nothing that God could delight in. Much like today, the sad condition that plagues and prevails in the land, people lived according to what was right in their own eyes. First Samuel opens with the word now. Now tells us that Elkanah and Hannah lived during the period of the judges in Israel. A time the land had sunk into a moral cesspool of corruption, and it had a weak government. The weakness of the nation was a result of the wickedness of the nation. Wickedness always causes weakness. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, wickedness causes weakness. Look at another neighbor and say, wickedness causes weakness. Most of the Israelites walked in evilness and disobedience unto God. Elkanah and Hannah lived in Ramathaim Zophim. The name of the town means two hills of the watchman. In other words, it was Elkanah and Hannah who were living in a place of constant and persistent guard against the perils and pitfalls of life. He should have been watchful against satanic influences and Satan traps and snares. The fact that Elkanah had two wives proves his lack of watchfulness. Understand the time in which he lived. Whereas the Mosaic law did not permit polygamy, having two wives bred discord and dissension. Let me pause parenthetically to say, whenever two, three, four women are living in the same house, loving the same man, there will be dissension and discord. I think I'll say that again. Whenever one or two or two or three or four women living in the same house loving the same man, there will be dissension and discord. According to verse 2, Peninnah, she is on the scene. She's a part of the Hannah and Elkanah relationship. Peninnah was fruitful, but Hannah was barren. Now, why was Hannah barren, the most spiritual of the two? She was barren, and Peninnah was carnal. She was hateful. She was malicious. She was argumentative. She was mean. She was low down. She was opinionated, but she was fruitful. The most wicked of the two, the most unspiritual of the two, was able to have children. She was fruitful, but yet she was wicked. She was able to do what Hannah could not do. She had what Hannah desired. She could do what Hannah could not do, and it angered Hannah. The text says, number one, that Hannah was barren. She had no children. According to verse 2, she was barren. She was unfruitful, infertile. That was a problem. It was a problem. She was barren, and barrenness was a problem. Verse 5 says, her womb was closed by the Lord. It was a problem because she desired a child or children. Women who desire a child or children and can't have a child or children see this as a problem. You remember Sarah, Abram's wife. Sarah had the same problem Hannah had. Sarah saw her own barrenness as a problem. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, Sarah, the wife of Abram, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. You remember Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, according to Genesis 29, verse 31. Rachel was barren. Leah bore several sons to Jacob. Genesis 30, verse 1 says, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Having no children was a problem in that day for Hannah and for Rachel and for Sarah. Having no children was a problem because the chief value of a woman in the biblical times was first her chastity, after her marriage, her productivity. Hannah struggled because she had no children. Her infertility caused her problems. She was barren. She was a woman of faith, but she was barren. Let me pause to help you out. You can be faithful and still have problems. You can be a person of faith and faithfulness and still have problems. You can be a person of faith and faithfulness and still experience lack in your life. She was the most faithful of the two, but yet God shut up her womb. She was barren. Righteous woman suffering. Good people have problems. I'm waiting on you all to catch up with me. Righteous women suffer. Good women suffer and have problems. What you are going through, let me just minister, if y'all don't mind. Let me just minister to you. What you are going through is not an indication of what you have done. All problems is not the result of sin you have committed. Some things you are going through is because God, He's wanting to bless you in a greater way than He's blessing someone else. He puts you on hold sometimes. He doesn't deny you. He just puts you on hold sometimes. Because he knows you're not ready for what you're asking for. Good woman, good woman, good woman. She was suffering. And God shut up her womb. It's not Satan who shut up her womb. It's God who set up or shut up her womb. She was barren. But because she was barren, she was bothered. Verse 6 says, her adversary provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. She was provoked. Verse 6, Peninnah provoked Hannah sore. Verse 7 says, and she did so year by year. When she went up to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, Peninnah provoked Hannah right in the house of God. Listen, you don't meet all bad people when the benediction is given. Sometimes you will meet up with bad people sitting on the padded pew with you in the service. And their agenda is not to bless you, but bother you. They want to nag and aggravate you. Take your focus from God. Take your focus from his goodness. Take your focus from all that he has blessed you with already. They are bothersome people that sit right in the church with you. It don't have to be after the benediction. You meet them in the street. Sometimes they ride in the car with you. Sometimes they ride with you. They ride with you. Sometimes they'll meet you here. And seemingly they show up the same time every Sunday you show up. Provoked. Which means to disturb, to be fretful, angry, vexed, indignant, grieved, to provoke to anger, to be irritated. It means to stir up or provoking of the heart to a heated condition. It means to be so hot you want to do something. I'm talking to some real folks in here. To be so heated you want to do something. She provoked her sore and made her to fret. Both carrying the idea of pushing someone to the point of anger. She was provoked, but notice she was pained. Because verse 7 says she wept and did not eat. In verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The word sore means that Peninnah triggered a feeling of hurt. Listen, sometimes people don't know what to open their mouth and say. Because listen, words can cut you. Words hurt you. You know, some people will come up to you if you don't have children yet. You know, they tend to say things like, what you waiting on? You know, you're looking for a spouse that, you know, you hadn't found anybody yet. You're doing the best you can, and all they got to say is something that'll cut you to the core. People open their mouth, don't know what to say. And that was the case of Peninnah. She opened her mouth and intentionally hurt Hannah by what she was saying. Provoking her, and it caused pain. It was a painful experience, but then there's a principle that you have to put in place in the midst of your pain and being provoked, because wicked people will try to get you to come down to their level. She was provoking her, but listen, the Bible says provoking her to fret. Here it is, a good woman had having problems with productivity. And here it is, a wicked woman producing. And here, David, he helps us because he says, don't fret over the prosperity or productivity of wicked people. Because God knows how to handle wicked people. He says, they shall soon be cut down and they will soon wither. In other words, don't get overheated, don't get hot, don't get angry, don't get bent out of shape with people who's wicked and who's prospering in their wickedness, because God has a way of turning that thing upside down. God has a way of leaning the scale in your favor. I ought to have somebody here who can be a witness. You don't have to look over the fence in the life of somebody else. You just need to wait on God. And if you wait on God, God will tilt the scale in your favor. Fret not. Don't get angry. Listen, you know, I was younger, preaching, giving myself to the Lord, you know, paying my tithes, singing his songs of praise, preaching his word. And, you know, people in the world seemingly were doing better than me. God says, just hold on, boy. Hang on in there, you know, your time is coming. That's a word for somebody here this morning. Look at him and tell him, do good and hang on in there. Your time is coming. It sounds so good, I think I'll say it again. Look at him and tell him, hang on in there and do good. Your time is coming. Delay does not mean denial. God can do that thing when you least expect it. Ask Sarah. She was an old woman when she had her child. Abraham was an old man. God can do it when he wants to do it. Look at somebody and tell him, hang on in there and do good. Your time is coming. It's coming. It's coming. That's what Hannah did. She did good. And she could do good because she had faith and trust. And she refused to allow Peninnah to deter her trust in the Lord. She was bothered. She was broken. She was so broken. She wept and fasted. She wouldn't eat.
That's right.
Listen. She was broken, and in her brokenness, she prayed. Sometimes, that's the only time God can get a decent prayer out of you.
That's right. Amen.
When you're broken.
That's right.
When you are in a situation you can do nothing about. When you have to look at yourself and see all of your inadequacies. When God breaks you, he thrusts you to your knees. See, some of you hadn't been on your knees lately. And God will allow some situations to come about in your life to break you. Because he wants to communicate with you. She prayed. Notice her prayer. In bitterness of soul, she prayed unto the Lord. In other words, she prayed. And it was a prayer from her inner being. The depths of her soul. Her prayer was prudent, passionate, persistent, and peaceful. Notice the specifics of her prayer. She said, Lord, give me a child, but not just a child. Give me a man. child. See, some of you don't know how to pray like that because you just want God to just ball you up a little something and throw it your way. You know, when you're looking for a job, you say, well, Lord, give me a job. And I say, well, what kind of job you want? Just any job. Lord, give me a man. What kind of man you want? Well, just give me a man. Lord, give me a woman. What kind of woman? Just a woman. And then you go to talking to the Lord like, you know, well, Lord, just somebody I can talk with. You can talk with somebody that won't treat you right. She was specific. She knew exactly what she wanted the Lord to do. Give me a man child. And in her prayer, petition, she makes a promise. If you give me the child, I will give him unto you all the days of his life. And no razor shall come upon his head. Now here's the Nazarite vow, where he would drink of no wine, and he would give himself totally to the Lord for his service. And she makes this vow for her son. Now, here's the problem with modern mothers. Modern mothers try to parent as sister. And, you know, you want your child to be in agreement with everything you say. And if they are not in agreement, you want them to express their feelings. See, I'm here today because I didn't get a chance to express my feelings. Because if I would have expressed my feelings, my mama had a backhand. You know, you go to talking about what you didn't want to do, and you were putting feet under their table, and they had to go and buy your clothes and buy your shoes, and you're going to tell them what you're not going to do. Especially on Sunday morning, you're going to tell them you don't want to go to church. This new type mothering and parenting, you know. Well, you know, I just want them to understand. Understand what? The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. What we're now trying to do is covenant with our children instead of covenant with the Lord. She made a vow. Not Samuel now. She made a vow. And according to, you know, biblical antiquity and according to the word of God, Elkanah made the same vow, because she could not have made that vow without the approval of her husband. What she said, he said. He agreed with it. This child will serve you all his days. The text. He will serve you all his days. In verse 18, she gets up from the prayer, and there's a peace that has come over her, because she ate, and her countenance was no more sad. Listen, the Bible says, if you leave a child to themselves, they will bring you to shame. If you neglect your parental duty, in training them up, they will bring you to shame. Listen, I'm trying to get through this. You know, if your child is having problems everywhere, it can't be everybody else. You know, you're going to have to assume some responsibility as a parent. You know, if you have not trained and have not raised your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, now that they have gotten older and you're trying to do something with them, and because you can't do anything with them, you're trying to give off that responsibility to everybody else. It won't work. You're going to have to make some vows. That's why a few weeks ago we dedicated Trinity. As parents, it's our responsibility not just to have a service or a ceremony, but it's a public acknowledgement of what our responsibility is. You have to make a vow. God, we give you the children. You train them and nurture them up. Lord, give us the instructions on how to train them and nurture them up. Samuel didn't say a thing. It was Hannah who said it. You know how we expect to train them up when we leave them at home, when we come to church. You know, we don't make them participate in any functions for youth activities or children activities, but yet we want them to know the Lord. How? When we are not making vows. When we are not giving them to the Lord. She gave them to the Lord before she even conceived him. And she was at peace.
That's right.
Listen, here's the blessedness and I'm finished. God opened her womb. And she brought forth a bouncing baby boy. And she named him Samuel. And here's her faithfulness after being fruitful. Because some people will make vows and turn and disobey their vows after they are fruitful. You know, we say to the Lord stuff like, Lord, if you give me a job, I promise you I'm going to tithe. Get the job and you start cheating God. Lord, if you give me a family, I promise you I'll bring them to church. You get the family and you abandon church.
That's right.
Lord, if you help me through this test,
yeah.
I'll be the first one at church on Sunday. And after the test, you don't even show up.
That's right.
We say things to God. We make vows that we don't come through or fulfill. And that's dangerous because whenever you vow a vow, don't cause your flesh to suffer from something you say with your mouth. She gave this boy to the Lord after her fruitfulness. She was faithful. She did exactly what she promised the Lord she would do. And she made the ultimate commitment as a mother. And she totally gave him. Now, when she weaned him, she took Samuel to the temple where Eli was and gave him to Eli. And he became a prophet. He became a prophet. Now, watch this, and I'm finished. This boy, Samuel, was one God. Now, let me say, normally, a prophet or a person would serve in the temple at the age of 25 or 30. He's growing up in the temple.
That's right.
Serving the Lord. Y'all missed it. Normally, a person would serve 25 to 30 in the temple, but Samuel is growing up in the temple serving the Lord. Now, the Bible says if we train them up, they won't depart. Now, notice all of his days, he served the Lord. Well, what did he do? He anointed the first king of Israel, Saul, with a grieved heart. But then he anointed the second king of Israel, which is David, the grandfather of King Jesus, the one to come. He was a pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he spent his life doing, pointing others in the direction of Jesus Christ. Listen, parents, if you train up your child in the way of the Lord, they will be pointers. If you want the young people saved, young people can help other young people get saved. They will point others to the Lord. We got to train them up to be pointers. Let me see you go like that. Train them up to be pointers. See, they can reach people we can't reach. Train them up to be pointers. To point people to Jesus. That's what she did. And that's what a model mother will do. Not just get them through school. Not just get them over the hump. But train them up in the way of the Lord. So they can help other young people know the Lord Jesus Christ. As God used Samuel, he wants to use our children.
That's right.
That's right. Male, female.
Yeah.
He wants to use our children. But it doesn't start with them. It starts with mothers and fathers.
Yeah.
Listen. Our older three. Every morning, we would meet in the sitting room and we would read a chapter of the Bible every morning. However many verses the chapter had, that's how we would divide the chapter for the reading assignment every morning. And we would pray every morning. We would sit them in the... They didn't want to. They didn't want to get up early. Come in frowning. They didn't grumble much because, you know, we had sensitive ears. And they would get down on their knees and open the Bible to whatever chapter. And we would divide it. It was five of us at the time. And we would read. And then after we read together, we asked them if they understood what they read. And if they didn't, they had to read it again. So they didn't just fly through it or just speed through it. But we wanted them to read it with comprehension and understanding. Because now, those three children are grown. Mom and daddy can't be foundation for you now. You need to know the Lord. You need to know him. And point others in his direction. Our children are great tools the Lord want to use. We got a problem in our city. The violence that's among our young people. They know them. They know who they are. They go to school with them. And they need to know how to point that young brother, that young sister, in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if our community is going to change, it doesn't happen and change with programs that targets the outside to alter the inside. And all that change is made
That's right.
from the inside out.
Amen.
And only Jesus Christ
Yes.
can change a man from the inside out. Somebody ought to be a witness today. It was when you came into contact with Jesus that your life is forever changed. Everyone to your feet, if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today. If you're not saved, give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. How can I be saved, Pastor Preacher? For the word says, if you believe that the Lord God has sent his Son to die in your place for your good, he died and he was buried, and that third day God raised him from the dead. Bible says if you can believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. If you're here in need of salvation, come today. Come today. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you're here and you need a church home, and the Lord has laid the New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart as a place a worship as a family of faith, come receive your family today. Thirdly, if you're here and you are backslidden, you need to be restored. Pastor, preach, I'm low, I'm down. I know I'm saved, but I don't feel the joy of my salvation. My Christian disciplines are routine now. I'm just going through the motion. I'm as low as I've ever been. The Lord said, come, I can restore you. I can re-energize, refocus, rebuild you. Come. Come. Come, come. Come. Come on, come on. Jesus. And you. The doors. Every mother, raise your hand again. Father, give them strength to stand in the gap. Give them strength, Lord, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of you. Give them strength to discipline and to direct. Give them strength, Father, to face the harshness of today. Give them peace as they try to guard and guide. Give them your hand of power, protection and provision. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in their lives already, and for what you are going to do. We know that latter end will be greater than the former, because they have given themselves to your truth, your word, in Jesus' name. May the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say, amen. Amen. We're under the instructions of the Environmental Safety Committee.